What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 227. All right, so very, very excited to be able to have the conversation for y'all to hear with my guest here today. He's just such an awesome guy. Had a chance to get to know him here over the past several weeks. And more importantly, what his company is doing is just so interesting to me because, as you all know, we have technology. It is a part of our life. Whether we like it, don't like it, any of that, it's here. It's going to be here. And so then it becomes a matter of how do we manage that technology and how do we also remain safe with that technology? Most of us probably don't understand how much, whether that's the different radio frequencies or some of the potential radiation hazards of all these devices that we're always on. And also, like, what are the ways that we can reduce our risk around those things? Because one of my fears has always been is that in 20 or 30 years from now, we're going to look back and be like, we actually used to hold a cell phone up to our ear, right? Like, how crazy is that? So we get into all of that, talk about social media. We talk about some of the current issues, the dopamine around that. But again, also how we can effectively and safely use these devices. So again, just such a fun conversation. Now, as we're talking about being healthy, you guys know where I'm going with this, right? Like, obviously, we want you to eat the most healthy and use the most healthy products possible, right? So that is why at CrossOmeats.com, we have all of our ranch-raised beef on there, that perfect barley finish, 10-day dry aging process, just to make sure that it is extra good, because if you're going to be eating the best and the most naturally raised beef that you can, you also want it to taste good. So we also have our soaps there, our salves there, our natural tallow, what we call our CrossO Gold. So make sure you guys go to CrossOmeats.com, grab yourself some meat, whether it's some beef sticks, tallow, soap, salves. We got all the stuff there that's going to be that natural and healthy stuff that we all know that you love. So go to CrossOmeats.com. All right, everybody, let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. So excited for my guest today. This is somebody who I've had the pleasure of meeting a couple of times now and is just doing some awesome things in the business world. Kind of ties into some health, and we'll kind of get into that as well. He's the owner and co-founder. Is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. I just wanted to make sure of Silent. If you guys haven't heard of Silent, you will know all about it by the time we get done. And it is a company that you have to check out. If you guys have been following me for very long, you know how important it is with some of the health side of things that I like to talk about, as well as some of the security side of things. You guys all know I like to talk about that stuff. And so again, I am super excited to welcome on Aaron Czar. Again, Aaron, thanks for joining me.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Awesome. It's a good story, and there's cool things happening with Silent as a whole that are beyond relatable to what's going on in the world. So thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, for sure. So, with Silent, if somebody doesn't know kind of what you guys do, and we'll dive further into this, but maybe just to start, so we kind of have it out there, what is it that Silent does? And we'll kind of get into the origins of it in a minute, but if you wouldn't mind maybe just kind of giving people an overview of what it is that you guys do.
Sure. Everyone listening to this, myself, you, we all have devices. We all have cell phones. We all have laptops, even iPads, connected car keys. Like, everything that's electronic is really connected to the internet. It has the ability to track us, locate us, give away data. And there's no real fail safe or products that have privacy and security and health at front of mind or by design. So what Silent is, we make a collection of accessories, backpacks, device sleeves, some luggage that allows you to put your devices inside and block all wireless signal instantly. So you take your phone, you put it inside one of our sleeves, it's blocking cellular, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, GPS, RFID, NFC, EMP, like a whole range of frequencies. And why is that important? Because our freedom and our liberties are being chipped away in front of our eyes. And we're strong believers that people have a choice and empower themselves by being able to kind of control when and how they connect, whether that's through travel, or that's in a business setting, or you're in the military, law enforcement. Kind of the use cases are, there's a plethora of them. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, but all our products are sleek, they look good. So you don't have to be like some crazy privacy security like person up front. The nice thing is those products are ready for you. They just happen to look great. And if privacy or security is maybe secondary, but you really like functionality and aesthetics, we have that too. So we've tried to bridge the gap between adopting a lot of value and put it in sleek form factors that look as good as everything else, if not better, use recycled and sustainable materials. And yeah, we feel like we're kind of thought leaders in this space about, you know, digital wellness and health and privacy and security when it's directly in relation to mobile devices.
I love it. I love it. And there's so much there that obviously we'll be able to dive into, but I am curious, like what I understand, your dad kind of got this going in the very beginning from what I've been able to see and research. How did all of this come about? Because I think it is something to where almost all of us are like, yeah, we have no privacy anymore. We all hate that, but it's almost like kind of the blood contract we sign when we, you know, get our iPhone or whatever. So like how did this concept first kind of come about? Because it actually sounds like it came about way before most of the devices that we now use were even thought of.
Yeah, as all good things do, I suppose. I mean, timing's everything. But yeah, my father, anytime I tell the story, he gets a lot of credit because he created it. He's had foresight into, I mean, let's just step back. Like if we're not now, and it's the 90s and mobile technology, like a cell phone and a car or a big Motorola is just like coming online. It's novel, it's convenient, it's cutting edge, it's cool. But with that, my father had kind of foreseen like, hey, there's like, what are the implications of adopting this technology? Cause it's clearly not gonna go anywhere. It's only gonna get more integrated into our life. And he was always a big privacy security advocate and kind of middle finger to the man and didn't want an electronic leash. So he took some materials and a Faraday cage is essentially what we make, like a Faraday bag, Faraday sleeve. We're making signal blocking products, but the origination of what a Faraday cage is comes from Michael Faraday. And there's a whole history there. But the premise is you encapsulate something and it's in effect, not affected by electromagnetic frequencies in or out. So that was kind of the premise that he had in his head. He's like, well, this is really cool to have this cell phone, but I just remember he used to have it smashed to his face and his whole ear would get red. And I think he was looking for a way to break it because he was like instantly addicted. And so he sourced some materials that had shielding properties in them and kind of like, I remember at the kitchen table, he kind of bagged it up and like called it from a landline and he's like, look, it doesn't ring. And at the time, and this was 1998, so I was just in middle school. I was in junior high school, so I didn't have a phone. I didn't have a premise of like why or what. We had dial-up internet. So he was deemed kind of paranoid amongst his peers and network because he wanted it to go to the consumer. He wanted it to be like, hey, this is the tool that people need. Flash forward, you know, many decades, it's crazy relevant. But during that time, it was like, you're a little out to lunch, like this, why? So he kind of curbed it. And in 2008, 2009, he did a production run of what was just called Silent Pocket, MIA Mobi, like missing in action mobile. And Silent Pocket was just the technology. And he got on the news and it was this big novel thing of like, oh, a Faraday bag, something to block signal. So, you know, someone can't track me or locate me or my boss can't spy on me. It was just too early for its time, really. Although within like military, law enforcement, and other use cases, blocking signal has been going on for a long time, but to adapt it to a commercial market, it just took some time. So I got involved in 2012 and it wasn't much going on. Rebranded it. I studied marketing, kind of brought it to market, had an initial pretty big sale of success, and then did a production run, and then started visiting factories. And I think what we saw in the last decade is a lot of external issues from corporate overreach, government overreach, hacking, big data breaches, and simultaneously with the adoption of more mobile technology. Like there's more cell phones on the planet than humans and everything's connected. So now we're in this place now where we Silent makes like a whole comprehensive product line. It was like always my dream to have a backpack. I was like, I would love to make a backpack and have like Faraday pockets in it, and you could conceal whatever you want and no one's the wiser. And now we have that. Now we have like, you know, a handful of backpacks. So it's come a long way. And I think we've earned our stripes along the way with great recognition as a brand. We've won military contracts now, and we continue to push into innovation and development, and want to make like a part of our mission statement is to make this technology effortless for any individual so they can empower themselves over technology. Well, a lot of milestones along the way, believe me, but that's kind of like the fast version. Yeah. But yeah, it's becoming a lot more fun now.
Yeah, I bet. Well, and I think that there's so many different pillars to this, right? Because I know some people, and when I say some people, like myself, which we are, it's like we're losing our freedoms, right? Because we can be tracked, and there's so many different apps now that know what you're doing. You know, there's like TikTok especially has been in the news a lot lately. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the AI technology that can like track your keyboard traces, blah, 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 all this crazy stuff. And it's like, if they can do that, and then whoever they is can see where you go at any time, there's a huge privacy issue with it. But then also I would imagine, and I'm not sure how far you would want to go down the rabbit hole of just health and, you know, some of the radiation potential that's coming at us when we always have a phone on us. So for you guys, I mean, are people coming to you more for like the privacy aspect, or do you have a lot of people that are coming to you from like the health and kind of, it's like, hey, we accept we all need a phone, but how can I use this phone maybe as safe as possible? Because there are a lot of people I've seen that are like, cell phones are this generation cigarettes, right? Like there's probably going to come a point in 20, 30 years from now, it's like we were actually holding this, you know, device up to our head all day, every day. And like, who knows what third eye we grew or whatever. But so like when it comes to people coming to you, are they coming more for like the security side of it? I'm sure with the military side of it, but like kind of your more average everyday people, or is it also a big health, maybe prevention thing as well?
Great question. As you and this podcast operate on like kind of three pillars, similarly with Silent, we operate on privacy, kind of siloed security and health. So those have always been from the original, you know, marketing aspects. Those are the three pillars. And what's cool about it is privacy and security are the biggest pain point. So for early adopters and people that like have no control over this, like this is why I buy it. But health is, I wouldn't even say third, it's growing exponentially because people are concerned about these devices that are now synonymous with my life and my daily life, and they're way too convenient and they're not going anywhere. And like, if you look inside of an iPhone today, you go to privacy or you go to the legal clauses under general, and you look at RF exposure, so radio frequency exposure, they're based off what are called SAR ratings, specific absorption rate. So that's like how much radiation am I absorbing and what's allowed and what's deemed safe. Well, the not funny thing is that these standards and settings from the FDA and government bodies in the US were set in the 60s. So they haven't changed since. And, you know, look what's happened with technology. So there's a lot of other countries, even Russia is more progressive than the US, a part of like banning certain phones and being acknowledging to the fact that these things will cause cancer and cause sell manipulation and issues along the way. And I 100% agree with your statement that this is this generation's cigarette, not only from physical bombardment of radiation, micro cell towers. Like if I was standing right now over a Wi-Fi router, like I would feel extremely uncomfortable. And there's real science now proving all the ailments that come with that. But probably the even more impactful aspect of it is mental health. Like if you think about how these devices are designed to hijack us, and we are not in control. They are in control of us. Like that's the reality with social media. That's the reality with the way we've shaped. Like look at any park bench in any park. Look, travel. Like we are so consumed with these devices that I think it's really changing. It has, and it will continue to change who we are. So Silent is a simple tool, and why our team is so fired up, because we really have the ability to kind of stop that. Yeah. And it's a wake up call. It might be as simple as putting your phone inside of a sleeve in the other room and watch what it does to your eyes and how present you could be. You might be extremely bored at first, but you know, I'm a father now and I have another baby on the way. So it's like, okay, I have to like really adjust how I connect with technology on a health perspective, mental health connection. Am I a distracted father? So there's a lot of real truth and struggles that we have to go through as people to like, how do we have a healthy relationship with technology? And there are some thought leaders in that space that are helping people like educate themselves. Like we go to school, we go to college, we study business, we work out like crazy, we're physically fit, but what are we doing about our attention span and ability to really remain human?
Yeah.
And you have other people like Sam Altman who are like bend the knee to technology and AI, because if you don't, you'll get left behind.
Yep.
So it's a pretty
how do you reconcile that? Navigate. Like how do you personally, because and just to expand on that real quick, which is, so AI is one of these things that we all see coming. ChatGPT, you know, Grok, whatever, it's coming. My initial thought is I hate it, and not for the reason why maybe some people think. I hate it because I worry if AI gets to a point to where humans are essentially worthless, they'll have no purpose, no meaning, and we're in a really, really bad spot at that point. You know, I always look at somebody who has nothing, they have no purpose, they have no reason essentially to be alive. That's a very, very dangerous human, because they have nothing to lose, right? And I think one of the things that's really kept us together as a society is we have something to lose. We have families, we have purpose, we have dreams, goals, hopes, all of those things. And when you lose all of that, what's left? Just craziness would be my guess. But on the flip side of that, if you run a big company and you're not using AI, somebody else probably is, and they're probably going to crush you because the AI is smarter than anybody that you have, or it will be very soon. So even like, not even necessarily a company standpoint, but honestly, like just more of a personal standpoint, like how do you reconcile technology, AI, growth, you know, goals, all this stuff, but like still maintaining being a human?
Today's challenge, I suppose. I mean, part of my like soul wants to run off into the woods and just like have a farm.
Come hang out with me, man. We're up here in Idaho. We got lots of land. You can come, there's lots of room.
You know, and I think people have that feeling like, oh, I don't want to like lose touch with like putting my feet in the earth and like eating great food and, you know, not being a part of this like hustle. Cause you look around the world, there's a lot of different ways to live. And yep. There's a lot of different ways to raise a family and raise kids. And what we're seeing in Western cultures is, you know, it's fresh, it's new, and all things relative, it's new. Yep. And we think we're the best and we set the standard. It's all like, I think a bunch of bullshit, to be honest. But how I reconcile that is that I do remain very optimistic about this being the best time to be alive. We could be highly connected and we're global. We could also utilize tools that make anyone's lives easier. It might eliminate jobs like AI and certain tools, but at the same time, people could develop new skills and work remotely, not commute, I benefit from that. And I'm like, I get extra, you know, three extra hours a day with my family. Like that's pretty insane. But I try to balance it by having a good relationship with my technology, being comfortable with putting it away, certain times of the day, all night. I don't have TV or any electronics in my bedroom. I don't sleep next to anything. I wake up with the sun when possible and, do physical activity. I mean, I grew up surfing, and surfing is a nice, it's not meditative in the sense, but it's an activity where you're extremely focused, and really like tuned in, and be like almost equivalent. Like I love riding dirt bikes as well. Like you're just like, you don't have a choice. You just have to focus on one thing. And that helps me personally clear my headspace. And then all the other fun stuff when available, saunas and cold plunges and, you know, stretching and yoga. But yeah, it's, sometimes I feel like I live two different lives.
Yeah.
Maybe you do too. You're like, yeah. Wow, I just had this weekend that was nothing technology about it. And then you jump on a Zoom call Monday morning and you're just snap back into like consumerism and this, you're like, what am I a part of? So I don't think I'm alone with that. But I'm still learning myself, but I am optimistic. I'm optimistic about the software that's available to, that is privacy and security front of mind. I'm optimistic about cryptocurrency and decentralized finance. And I'm optimistic about changes in healthcare system and how to live a better, richer life. And there's really good like beacons of hope from people pushing like real narrative that goes against what we're sold.
Yeah, no, I love that because, and when you talk about kind of living like two lives, it's always so, so interesting. And me and my wife have this conversation all the time because it's like, we'll be out in the mountains, you know, when we do our big cattle drive once a year, and there's no coverage, there's no electronics. And you just realize like how present you are. And it's like, this is amazing. And then you come back and when you're inundated with all the technology and social media and blah, 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 it's like, this is a terrible way to live. But then you kind of get slowly back into it. And then you're like, okay, this is great. And even a couple of years ago, we did this thing. A whole bunch of us did what we called it the Primal Reset. And basically one of the challenges, it was kind of like this program deal, but one of the deals in it was for one day a week, you couldn't be on any type of social media. And it's like, that seems so easy. Man, I will tell you, and I don't even feel like I'm a huge social media person. That was insanely hard one day a week. And it was like, yeah. Man, that's a problem. Like that is a problem that, cause what I found myself doing is just opening my phone and like not even thinking about it. Just like opening your phone and going to get on social media. Like I can't do that today. And you had to like rewire your brain. And one of the things as we talk about technology that terrifies me is I have, you know, a 14-year-old, 11-year-old, twin 6-year-olds, and they're growing up with this. And I realize how much like this technology has made me have ADD. And if they start on that, which we don't let any of them have any type of social media, any of that. But, you know, like if they start on that at 18, when I started on social media, it was like, what, 25 or whatever, when really they got more popular. Like I worry about what they'll have to go with. But like you said, ideally, there will be more people developing more things that can help maybe combat against that. So no, I think that's a super interesting topic, though, with that brain space. And I feel like sometimes my ADD has gotten way worse because of social media and like the just the constant feedback loop and everything else. So kind of coming back to what you guys are doing, though, is this something to wear like with your Faraday bag? Are people just kind of throwing it in there and just like, I don't even know if anybody's calling me, I'm just stepping away? Or is it more like for traveling, or what do people use like this type of stuff for?
There's so many use cases. I mean, I'll rattle off some, but yeah, in the simplest form, you know, people live for thousands of years without being able to pick up a phone or send a text. So it's like, it wasn't that long ago. Like I wasn't alive in the 70s or the 60s, but people would have been awesome to be alive then as well. So I think people's connection to their phones is a problem. No one really, I think, wants to admit that they, like you just mentioned, a day off social media. Why is that hard? Like, cause we're not getting drip dopamine and we're not a part of something. Are we like, we on the bench and people are still playing? Like, why does it feel like that? It's just like eating a poor diet too. I think like when you eat fast food consistently or drink alcohol, like your body feels like crap and you like get used to it. You're like, oh, this is how I feel. When you eliminate all that and you are clean and active, you're fresh. You're like, oh my God, how was I living like that? So in the same sense with technology, it's like, it's dirty, you know, like technology is dirty. And the more you let it into your life, you know, it's going to affect yourself. It's going to affect your headspace. Like I even catch myself getting more reactive, or, you know, like Twitter is a messy place to hang out in, but then you get worked up and then what's that do? Bleed into your family or your friends. And we just have to set boundaries. I think there are certain guardrails that we have to set. And within a home, it's like, think about stripping back technology. Like I'm a huge proponent of ripping an Alexa out of the wall and throwing it in the garbage, because
I won't have one. Not only
is it a microphone 24 hours, which your phone is too, but this is like a known active microphone, just collecting everything. But it also is just, it's just creepy. So some people could go down that road, but I think there's a way to utilize tech, balance it out, and be quite mindful. So I honestly completely forgot about what your root question was. I just went on like a little diatribe there.
Oh, it's great. It's great. But like around the Alexa, so my mom has one. It's always great. Like, Alexa, play this. And I'm like, Mom, I don't know, man. Maybe like my tinfoil hat just keeps growing and growing and growing. But it's like, do you really want to have something that records literally everything? It's like, oh, well, it only, you know, they'd say, oh, it only listens when you say Alexa. It's like, yeah, that is like the silliest thing you could ever actually believe. Like, if it's not listening, then how does it know you say Alexa? You know, like, yeah. Obviously it's listening to some degree. So yeah. Now
and it's feeding the AI model.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, that's a rabbit hole in itself, but
yeah.
I digress.
Well, how do you talked about like getting on Twitter and some of that, because I find myself like when it comes to social media, I definitely am on Twitter more so than anything else, because I feel like a naturally pretty curious person. I'm curious what's going on in the world, what's going on in politics, what's going on, even sports and stuff like that. And kind of like you said, it's really easy to get into that kind of silo, that feedback loop of seeing the information maybe that you want to see for the most part. So when it comes to like, obviously part of the mission behind what you guys are doing is, I would assume at least at some point, to disconnect, but how do you kind of parse like being informed, knowing what's going on in the world, but yet not consuming it too much? Like, how do you kind of manage that? Because I assume also being, you know, running a company like you are, you probably want to know what's going on in the world because it could impact your business. So like, how do you parse those two things? Like knowing what's going on versus being like, the hell with all this stuff, I don't even want to be a part of it.
Yeah. I try to think about it as using it as a tool, not having it use me as a tool. If you're intentional with one, if I go on Twitter and I have set the space for myself to do it, and I'm like, all right, for the next half an hour, I'm just going to enjoy Twitter. One, I'm not going to hold any guilt around that. Like, fuck that. Like, don't be guilty if you're going to go on with intention, because I love Twitter because it's a great source for news and what's actually going on, different perspectives. And you can kind of balance out like how you think about something. So I'm just mindful of not, because I know the feeling, like grabbing your phone, you thumb through it and all of a sudden you have an app open. You're like, wow, that's just second nature. I'm very mindful of when I pick up my phone. You know, I slip up, of course, but when I pick it up and I look at Twitter or I'm looking at, you know, Instagram, like I have a business on there as well. I'm very interested, but I also now have come to the place where I have a team that handles a lot of this. I was a solo entrepreneur for almost 7 years, and now by no means I'm not, which is great. So I get to like kind of fire myself from certain positions. So I don't have to be as tapped in as I once was, like on the pulse, which mentally makes me feel like, am I off the pulse? Am I a little rusty? But I'm not. I just have to like learn to fire myself from certain responsibilities. So my interest mainly with, you know, gathering news is for my personal interests, and then how it relates to silent and what's actually happening in the world. And I just go in intentionally. I'm like, all right, I'm going to absorb this and I'm going to learn. Like maybe it's just one video that I watch for half an hour, but it's got to be educational. Like you can only look at people falling on ice and downstairs so many times, you know, like you get trapped up in that stuff, which is
that's some of my favorite stuff. You know, you start getting into like the Instagram reels and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I've been sitting here watching these stupid things for a half hour.
That's the thing. I mean, just maybe set a timer because you don't, that's the way it's supposed to go. They're like, yes, it's working. Like they're like behind the scenes, like amazing. You know, Derek just mindlessly was on for 3 hours scrolling. Like,
yeah.
So,
and it's frustrating. Then I get mad at myself because it's like, I just wasted 30 minutes of my life. I got no value.
Yeah, you hold guilt.
Yeah.
You have no value. You don't feel better when you come out of it. Like I've never met anyone that was like, oh, I just spent 2 hours on Instagram. I feel so good. It's like, no, you just absorbed other people's lives and had them influence whatever your current state was. We did, and it's still on our website. We did a digital detox program and it was a week of leading up to how to disconnect from your phone for 24 hours. I suggest people go check it out. It's extremely hard, but it's so rewarding. Like it's insane. Like you going somewhere, print a map. Remember that? Like tell your closest family that you're going to be offline. Let the people know that need to know if you're like a very active communicator and then see what happens. It's like no screens, no technology. It's like boredom creeps in and then you read a book. You're like, that was the most vivid movie I ever watched, but I was reading.
Yeah. So you're probably, I assume based on what you're saying earlier, like mid 30s. So maybe it was even like, I don't know, maybe it was even like before your time when all this happened, but I remember my first business. I started it when I was 21 and it was a rain gutter installation business. So I'd go around putting rain gutters on people's houses. And you would literally like at that point, it was a huge deal when you could get onto MapQuest on the internet and print out actual step-by-step directions. Like that was a huge deal because it was like, oh my gosh, it'll actually tell you how to get there. You don't have to find it on a map and then figure out which is the best route. It was crazy. And then obviously now you just put everything in your phone and then you start realizing, I don't know anybody's phone numbers anymore. I don't know how to get anywhere anymore because I'm literally looking at my phone. I'm not looking at landmarks. I'm not looking at streets. It's just like turn here, turn there. So it is like super fascinating to see how we've been kind of trained to utilize these tools. And I don't know, like I know some people are like, oh, they're making us dumber. I don't know if they're making us dumber or not. Maybe they are. But you do start realizing how dependent we are on all of these devices that we have now. Because as soon as you do take it away, like I couldn't tell you the last time outside of when we are like up in the mountains, maybe moving cow stuff like that. But even then you're taking pictures a lot of times with your phone. It's like, I don't even remember. And this is probably a terrible thing to say. Like it's been probably 15 years since I went a full day without having my phone somewhere near me. How crazy is that?
Yeah, that's a bit of a wake up call. Now that you even put it out into the ether, it's like it's pretty crazy to think about that.
Yeah.
And most males, you know, carry it in their pocket, their back pocket, and pretty nuts. But
have you guys done a lot of like any deep dives? And I know when you start getting into like medical stuff, like it can be pretty tough because there's conflicting and, you know, having to back up claims, all of that. But have you guys got into a lot of like the health ramifications, not just the mental health, because I feel like we've talked about that, but actually what that radiation is doing to us? Like, have you guys done any of that type of research or monitored any of that to see what, you know, is it actually, at one point I heard that, and again, I just heard this, I have no idea if it's true or not, but a lot of people carrying cell phones in their front pocket, testicular cancer was going up or something like some of those types of correlations. Have you guys dove much into like the actual physical harm that some of these devices are causing us?
Not in terms of Silent being part of a study or pushing or putting dollars towards something. The medical field's doing that on their own. And, there have been very reputable people come out and kind of explain these dense scientific discoveries with the relation of cell phones to human bodies and how it's manipulating cells and causing cancer or lowering sperm count. I mean, Andrew Huberman came out not that long ago and kind of explained, he's great at explaining things in layman's terms, but explaining that phone and proximity to, you know, male genitalia, lower sperm count. It's like, okay, is that why we're having, a lot of people are having daughters? Because the male sperm gets killed off first. Like there's a lot going on. And I think it's just a matter of time before things really come out into the open. The inherent problem that I see right now with EMF cell phone radiation is that it's kind of stuck. Like our products actually block EMF radiation. Like they shut it down. Like nothing's coming out. It's cold, hard science. We have testing with that. But the inherent problem with talking about EMF is still a little woohoo. It's associated with really cheap products that are being sold based off of, oh, I have a physiological response and I feel better, aka the placebo effect.
Yep.
And people are selling little pendants and people selling rocks and people are selling stickers that you put on your phone and it just neutralizes your environment, and it's all BS. And so as real science comes out, Silent's very excited about launching more products that are EMF intentional for that space. And we are, and we have great blog articles that really compound on the science and what's happening. But if you just look at the SAR ratings that are outdated by like 50 years, that alone shows that the markers that we're being exposed to are extremely high, extremely dangerous. And we need to update them. So
you would think too, like, I guess I don't know, I haven't seen the study, but even with that rating, it, like, did they expect people to have that much all the time?
No way.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, maybe that amount won't hurt you if you're exposed to it for 10 minutes while you're driving through an old nuclear testing site or whatever it may be, right? But if you have that amount literally in your pocket or next to you 24 hours a day, like that prolonged exposure, you would have to think would be even worse. I guess, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, but it would seem to make logical sense to me that it would be way worse.
Way worse. And you have to follow the money too. Like, just like with big pharma and all these lies were being sold, and I'm not sure on your stances on vaccines and all that, but
I'm a pure blood, man. I'm a pure blood. We'll just put it that way.
I see a smirk on your face. It's follow the dollars, you know, like, is Apple or all Android or like all these devices, anyone going to wave the flag and be like, looks like these things might cause cancer? No chance.
Yeah.
So there's too much money being made. There's too much at stake for any devices or electronics. And there's going to be lobbyists. There's going to be studies to curb that and compound that. You see it with any industry. You see it with milk. You know, food, like any commodity or industry is going to have like both sides arguing. And that's perfect. They're like, cool, let's keep it just confusing. Let's stir the pot. No, and life will go on as normal. And we'll just keep buying every iPhone that comes out every single year. And we'll just nod our head and do as everyone says we should.
Well, I think like one of the coolest things about COVID, and this is probably another rabbit hole, I guess, but one of the cool things I feel like that happened during that period of time, amongst a whole bunch of, in my opinion, really terrible things, was that it made a lot of normal people either wake up or kind of realize maybe there's just no saving those people, despite what evidence or what comes out. But that's where I become hopeful with some of the technological side of things and some of kind of, you're talking about some of the big money, some of the big pharma, all of that, is that I feel like it at least has made people a little bit more skeptical. Because I think prior to 2020, it was just like, yeah, of course we believe the lobbyists. If they tell us not to eat meat, not to whatever, we're going to believe them. And then after 2020, it's like, I know for me, like, if you want to talk about radicalizing people, I feel like that was a perfect opportunity to radicalize a lot of people, to be like, no, actually, I don't believe anything any of you people tell me. Like, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's about food, about drugs, about medicine. I am going to go and like do my own research on everything now. And like, have you noticed that as well? Or is that just me kind of being around a bunch of weirdos?
No, I think I actually heard Aaron Rodgers mention it on a podcast. He was like, there is a majority of people with that mindset, but they're relatively silent. They're not the outspoken ones. So I think there is a collective understanding that we can't turn on CNN or ABC and trust the news. And that's been that for a long time. And yeah, doing your own research and understanding like what, like just as becoming a father and seeing what Western medicine wanted to push on my daughter, how many times they wanted to stick a needle in her and give her something. I'm like, she doesn't need protection against something that is only contracted by needles.
Yeah.
Hepatitis B. And like she's not, she's a baby.
Through sexual intercourse or through needles. And I like one of the things like along that is that all of my kids were born prior to that. And I think I could say now that if I were to go back, I don't know if I would have had my kids take anything. I've never been an anti-vaxxer. I never have. And part of it was just, like I said, just, this is what the doctors tell you to do. This is just what you do. You know, I'll never forget my daughter when she was first born. And I think it's the vitamin K shot they give them, right? Like the femur. And you have this perfect little baby that comes out, you know, your first time dad, and it's your little girl, and they set her on the little scale. And then they bring out this freaking shot thing that's like this big and just, and she's just screaming. I'm like, couldn't we wait? You know, like, does it, and I'm sure maybe there's a good medical reason for it, but I'm just like, man, that was really, really hard to see right when that baby comes out, you know?
Yeah, we didn't do any of that. The vitamin K one was something that our midwife was like, listen, if there's like, it's a struggling birth and there's potential cause for like internal bleeding or some sort of issue, like it makes sense. But if not, like no way. So, yeah. But the funny thing is doctors will make you feel bad and guilty that you're harming your kid. Yeah. So imagine someone that isn't self, they just listen. They're just like, they go in, they get their newborn, you know, over the course of a year, like 17 shots. And it's just like what you do. Cause it's based on fear and it's propped up with money. And it's just, it's sad. I mean, there's people like Jack Kruse, who is a bit controversial, but he's leading some thoughts into like actual medical science and what we can be doing to live a better life. It's, it just takes a lot of effort and brain power to navigate the world that we live in, from privacy and security issues to like health and like medical system. Not to mention that the medical system in the US is extremely expensive and overpriced. So go to a lot of different countries, you could have a baby for like $1,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is. It's crazy. Like, I know. And I always now kind of look back at some of the things that like we had done with our kids and some of the shots and everything else. And it's like, I remember thinking people who didn't get any vaccines or anything were nuts. Used to think those people are so dumb. Like, why would they? And now I'm like, if I had it to do over again, I know what I would do. And, you know, I even remember like through the whole COVID, like with some of the vaccine stuff there, like, you know, people coming out, and I've talked about it on the podcast before a little bit, but just being like, you know, you're putting yourself in danger. You're putting your family in danger. Like people just coming at me. And, you know, cause I put some of my opinions out there, and obviously with the podcast, you're going to get whatever, but sure. It was, like, I remember at one point being like, am I? Because I don't feel like I'm an evil, narcissistic person that has all the answers. I at least hope I'm not. But there was a point to where it's like, this is getting so crazy. Like, am I living in the twilight zone? And I'm the only one that's seeing all of this like coercion and this just crazy stuff going on. And people being like, we'll give you a free hamburger if you get one. And I'm sitting there like,
or a donut.
Yeah, or a donut. And it's like, I come from a sales background, like back in my ClickFunnels days and everything else. And like, that was all how you sold stuff, right? Like I wouldn't say manipulate, but it was always like you would, if you could invoke enough fear into somebody, you could make them buy anything. And it was like, I feel like I'm being sold on, you know, like fear-based selling is what's coming at me. And I see right through it. But then when it just kept going and, you know, people that were fairly close to me being like, you know, you're putting your family in danger type of stuff. Then it's like, am I, you know, like, am I crazy? Am I not actually following the science? You know, like they always like to say. And now I'm just like, thank God, you know, I stood strong to what I thought, because there was a time where it was like, I felt like it was so close to being like, just maybe that's what I should do. Maybe that's what, you know, maybe that's what the science does say. But I mean, I'll tell you, there's not been a single day I've regretted that.
Yeah. Good, Good call. Yeah, we went through the same process as just my wife at the time, but a lot of social pressure, a lot of fear. You had to think about who are these other, you know, your peers and friends, like who are their influences? A lot of it's family. You get pressured. It's like, yeah, I mean, I don't think I lost any friends through that, but I'm glad we held strong. And, you know, there's too many cases and issues that are known now, that are really tragic and sad. And like you add up the numbers, which I've collected some information from different podcasts and studies, and it's alarming.
Yeah.
It's extremely alarming. And it hasn't changed. It's still being pushed on kids. Kids don't need to get it.
Like, no way. No way.
Leave the kids alone.
Yeah. It's insane. I mean, the data on that was clear right away as well, which was driving me nuts. Like who was susceptible to it and who wasn't. And the fact that it was getting pushed toward kids, it's like, there's literally no data that backs that up. Mm-hmm. There's only fear. There's only fear. Oh, your kid's going to get it and go and kill grandma. You know, like that was the fear that was behind it. There was no data. There was no, I mean, for the most part, like no kids were dying, you know, they weren't even like, it went through our house and I don't even think our kids had a runny nose, you know, like it was mm-hmm. just no big deal. But yeah. So I know we're getting kind of close to the end of our time. One thing I'm curious about, just like if, you know, if somebody does want to, you know, check out what you guys have going on with some of the bags, the Faraday bags, or, you know, obviously a lot of people that are listening to this are probably more your consumer, maybe not military buyers and stuff, which I know you guys work with, but you know, where would they go to find it? What maybe, you know, like for a guy like me, let's say I'm just like, hey, I need something to put this in at, maybe at night, maybe put our phones in or whatever to keep from all this crazy stuff bouncing off me through me. Like what would be kind of the starting point for someone like me?
Sure. I mean, our website slnt.com. So pronounce it silent, slnt.com is the place to go for all products and knowledge. We have an insight section with great videos and great blog posts. And if someone's listening to this and I've piqued their interest, or this conversation's piqued their interest about their association with technology, let's just call it your phone, your laptop, then there's a little thread there that you should keep pulling and understand what's really happening underneath the surface, because it can be pretty alarming. And we don't market and sell based on fear. We lead with education, we're factual, but we want people to kind of wake up, you know, like we don't want people to remain like sheep and just kind of like keep going. Like let your wolf come out, like have ownership over yourself.
So can I ask you a quick question too that I wanted to hit earlier? Is there any, as we're on this part of it, is there like turning your phone to airplane mode, does that protect you against all of that type of stuff then?
Great question. So turning your airplane mode is you're not taking the power source out of your phone. You're not unplugging it. There's no battery being removed. So you're relying on software to tell you that this is all off. GPS is still active. Radios in your phone are still active. So it's what I'd call a soft switch, not a hard switch. And then turning your phone off, like say you have the latest iPhone, turning it off, like now Apple has announced like it's still findable. So they reserve enough battery for your phone to be located. So it's really, you're not in control of when this thing is off, and off is just a loose term now. It's more dormant. But that's a big one. You know, if you go to like the tip of the spear and you think about the use case for like military or agencies, or like we exhibit at DEF CON, like a great hacking convention, which has been going on for 31 years. Like you get kind of the tip of the spear of people that are on the cutting edge of what can be done to phones. It's so alarming. It'll rip your face off. Like it is like,
what's the most alarming thing like that you're aware of?
Probably the one that affects everyone is just your direct cell phone number in the hands of the wrong person could decimate your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, you know, Sean Ryan has good guests on that kind of speak about these type of things, but yeah, your cell phone number is more important than your social security number. So from like social engineering, like I could pretend I'm Derek and call up and get into your, you know, web of your life and then change things and just really take control. Yeah. And then just the general collection of data, you know, there are data brokers that where I could go. Maybe the data broker actually is in Romania, but I buy it through a UK party or something, and I collect data. Say it's your headquarters, your company, and I just take a month worth of data of every person, every cell phone, every device that entered and exit that building, strip it back, and then I'll know your name, your phone number, where you live, your pattern of life, like who you are as a person. Are you approachable? Are you defensive? And just break it down. And then in the hands of the wrong people, that could be, you know, weaponized and used against you. Because really, like the place we're in as a world, it's like it's not necessarily like wars with bullets and airstrikes and stuff. That's a part of it, but it's really manipulation of societies to make confusion and cause chaos. And so what we're seeing from foreign adversaries is like they're like, great, let America remain really confused, divided, separated on issues, and loose. And then we could, you know, make our moves that we need to make because we're more patient, we're strategic. Like, I feel like that is the actual reality. And we're all caught up in it. But just to get a little doomsday prepper on us real quick before the end of
Yes,
this,
now you're speaking my language.
our products also block against EMP, so electromagnetic pulse.
Which is a real concern, I
If
feel like.
it's a real concern, because not only is it should be a concern of anyone in this world, but for the military, the US military, it's one of their biggest concerns, because high elevation EMP is like a nuclear warhead going off above a city, decimates all electronics. I mean, there was a The End of Us, or the video that kind of like played into, or the video, the movie, which is a fun thing to talk about as well. But the reality is that you have land, you have maybe solar power, you have like an electric generator. We make products specific for EMP protection. So in the event that there's a solar flare, which we're also in the current cycle of, EMP
Had
kind of
one not that
all,
long ago.
yeah.
Yeah.
But a big one's coming. So having all your stuff protected, you're going to be able to remain in control of your livelihood. Like, that's just
I've
like,
talked about it before too, like with EMPs, but if I were an adversary that maybe knew there's no chance that we could defeat the US militarily, I would be doing everything I could to launch an EMP because we'll kill ourselves at that point, right? Like if you knock down the power grid and people didn't have food and water, you would never have to fire a single bullet. Like we would all probably most likely go after one another within a week, well, as soon as our grocery store was out of food. So yeah, I mean, having protection around that would be massive as well. Man, that's some good
yeah.
stuff. So are you still like innovating then, I assume? Probably still building out more and more different types of products. Are you kind of set with your product line and you feel like you have most of it covered? Or what's kind of the next steps for you as a company before we wrap it up here?
Yeah, so we have quite a few products being launched this year that have been in development for a few years. It's called the Essentials Collection. So different like form factors, really cool products that look clean and sleek, and no one really knows what they are, but they got a ton of pack features, including blocking signal. Those launch in about a month and a half, so you can stay tuned for that. And then behind the scenes, we're quite innovative. You know, we just won another patent. We have a handful of them, and we keep pushing. And we won some military contracts, which is great because it allows us to really lean into that use case, like, and signal management for the military and operators that are in threat of drones tracking them and killing them. Like, that's the reality. So we're developing some pretty cutting edge new technology and form factors with signal blocking and other features that some of it will probably become available to general consumers. And then yeah, I mean, we've showcased a jacket that we've created with an integrated Faraday sleeve at several trade shows, and we're going to be launching that this year. So just trying to make things effortless for people. Like, how can you adopt this technology and not make it cumbersome and make it easy? Well, if you check out slnt.com, you could see all of our current products. You could sign up for our email and get like the exclusive inside look on what's coming. And Yeah, we're quite collaborative as a company as well. And we have some collaborations coming out with other like-minded brands. And we just want to adapt and integrate this technology and what we call Silent Pocket into anything that enhances life. Like, how can we give you more peace of mind and more security, more health benefits to live a rich, healthy life? It's like,
man,
I love it. All there. It's all there. You have to do a lot of homework. You got to be a critical thinker these days. Yeah. But I guess that's the fun challenge that we have ahead of us.
I love it. I love what you guys are doing. I love what you stand for. Make sure you guys go out there, check out silentslnt.com. Give those guys a follow on Instagram at goslnt. So you guys got to go and check that out as well. All right. So last question. Obviously we've been able to talk about kind of like your mindset coming into this, obviously kind of lifestyle. Like, I think everybody's got a good picture of where you sit. Obviously you and I are aligned on a lot of this. Last thing is, you know, kind of in the pillars here is the legacy side of this. So obviously you're a young guy, you've already done a lot. You guys are making big noise, big moves, you know, with security, with health, with all of this stuff. But, you know, maybe if we were to fast forward to the end of your life, Aaron, and you know, your old man sitting on the rocking chair, whatever it is, when you look back, like, what do you feel like after everything you've done, everything you will do, you would hope that your legacy would be at that point?
Big question. I'm definitely doing my life's work right now. I feel that I'm honored and grateful to be a part of something that is a for-profit business, but really is impactful. Like, we're not just selling backpacks. We're selling backpacks that enhance privacy and security. So, and health. As that grows, I think that will build into part of my legacy about empowering humanity and actually giving people a tool to take them down a path to live a better life. I'm a true believer in that. But I think, you know, I thought about, I like advising younger entrepreneurs and people that feel like they're stuck. I don't know it all by any means, and I've been doing this for, you know, almost 12 years, but I really want to help people and to get unstuck and make change and take risk that could extremely impact their life. I think a lot of people have ideas but don't follow through, and I think life is worth taking risks on and traveling and moving around and trying new things. But in terms of legacy, I'd love to start a foundation, like a silent foundation, and have it be impactful and keep pushing and opening up doors around privacy and security and health in relation to technology. So what that looks like, I'm not exactly sure, but I would love to have a massive exit from this company and have it in good hands from another good corporation, and then just keep being a part of it, because I have a lot to learn still, a lot to grow. And yeah, that's a big question that I don't know if I articulated it well, but it's definitely stayed with me, and I'll keep thinking about that. So thank you.
Yeah, no, I love it. You're doing so many awesome things, and you know, just the future of what you have, it's going to be awesome to just follow along and watch. So again, guys, as we wrap it up here, thanks again, Aaron. I appreciate you coming on, sharing your story, sharing your views. Make sure go to silent.com, SLNT. So again, SLNT.com, and then check them out on Instagram as well. A lot of good stuff there. And yeah, again, Aaron, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. All right.
Sounds good, Derek. Hey, I really appreciate it. It's always a blessing to be able to get a little bit of a megaphone and push it out there. So appreciate you.
Yep. I know everybody will love it. All right, guys. Well, go check out Aaron. Go check out Silent. Show him some support. We'll talk to y'all soon.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.